Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. And listen, Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow to the extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal, light up a stage. And
welcome back to the Run and Shoot podcast here at the National Football Post. I'm Matt Bowen. I'll be joined as always by Wes Bunny as we run through the NFL, talk a little college football, hit on some hot topics. And what's the first thing I have to say is, hey, I guaranteed the win last week for my Hawkeyes. They come back in the fourth quarter, biggest comeback in school history. James Vandenberg, you know, pretty much looks like Tom Brady in the fourth quarter, Wes. So we're 2-1 right now. I'm going to guarantee another win this week. We got Louisiana Monroe. We're going to be 3-1 going into conference. What do you think about that?
Who do you start conference with then?
I think Joe Pa.
That's what I thought too. Joe Pa's in trouble, isn't he?
So that's 4-1. Yeah, that's 4-1. Joe Pa's not getting the recruits anymore.
No, they looked about as blah as possible against. In all honesty, it almost looked like a more athletic Temple team offensively.
Yeah. And tell me this. You're the State University of Pennsylvania. There's good football, Wes, out there. You live there. You know, out with the Quakers where you live. But you live there, all right? Where's the 6'4 quarterback to sling the football all over the field? Where's Kerry Collins? Where's Kevin Thompson, who I played against? Where are these guys?
They're all over. I mean, just in my neck of the woods, Chad Henne's come out of here. Yeah. Where's he want to go? He ends up going to Michigan. I mean, we've had a lot of guys. Perry Patterson, he started 4 years at Syracuse. They send up Mannheim Central, a team around here. They pretty much, Jeff Smoker came out of there. They send the starting quarterback at Delaware, comes out of there pretty much every other year. So there's a lot of pocket passers. Just Penn State's not interested in pocket passers. They want guys that can run the spread and move around.
Okay, then why didn't they offer Dan Persa? Because I know Dan Persa's, you know, hurt. We're talking about the Northwestern quarterback here. But when he's healthy, he's the best player in the Big Ten, right? He is. And he didn't even get an offer, I don't think, did he?
No offer at all. But what's Dan Persa? He's 5'11", and he was probably, a two-star prospect coming out?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And, you know, Penn State, and that's the biggest thing I think that colleges have the biggest trouble with, is they get so caught up in the 5- and 4-star kids that scout and rivals, people that can't even evaluate talent, and they just bring these guys aboard instead of actually watching the high school tape and realizing Persa's a pretty good player.
That's University of Texas in a nutshell,
yep.
Right there.
And that's why your boys Iowa can make some plays, because they can actually evaluate high school tape.
Yeah, and they also can look. And I'm not just hyping up my own school. A lot of schools can do this. You know, Brett Bielema in Wisconsin is great at doing this. They develop talent. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what college football is for. I mean, the only position you can really develop at in the NFL is quarterback. The other places, if you can't play special teams, you're not a starter. You get cut. So. College football is where you develop as a mature football player, and you have to do that. We was talking about Adrian Claiborne before. What was he, 3-star guy maybe, mm-hmm. coming out of St. Louis?
Yeah.
5-star guy by the time he leaves. But now it's a different discussion. Hawks will be 3-1. We'll pound Louisiana Monroe this week. Get ready for Joe Pa. Start our march to Pasadena. But let's get into some NFL. West Packers and Bears this week. Big game as always. Some intrigue to this after what happened with the Bears down the Superdome this past Sunday. And for those listeners out there who did not see it, it looked very reminiscent of when the Bears went to the Meadowlands last year and got absolutely handled by the Giants' blitz schemes, you know, and defense coordinator Perry Fuel out there for the Giants. Greg Williams is the defense coordinator for the Saints. I played for him in Washington. When he sees blood in the water, he pours it on, Wes. They went after this team in the second half like I haven't seen a defense do in a while. A lot of secondary pressure, blitzing guy, and a lot of edge pressure coming off to the disguise from the secondary. You have the nickel coming off, creeping down, the free safety. We saw double safety blitzes with Jenkins and Harper. Harper had 2 sacks, plus he picked up a fine for driving Cutler into the ground. But these guys are going after him, Wes. They're trying to knock guys out. I'm sorry, they were. They're trying to knock guys out of the football game. That's what happens when you can't block and can't protect Jay Cutler.
Yeah, and this was a front four, honestly. I thought they were able to generate pressure with four if they wanted to. But like you said, Greg Williams smells blood. And, you know, we've had this debate before, but, you know, this Bears O-line, if they're forced to pass protect down in and down out, and they don't have the luxury of at least working off play action at time, and they have to come from behind, you know, you look at the two tackles. We love Gabe Kareemi, but his best skill set right now is driving people off the football. He's a bit limited athletically. He's a good enough athlete to play right tackle, but you don't want speed flying off his shoulder time in and time out. And there's a lot of question marks around the left tackle. Jamarcus Webb, can he handle NFL caliber pass rushers consistently? And at this stage, if pass rushers are allowed to pin their ears back and just get after Jay Cutler, you know, he's not the type of athlete that can create on his own consistently. And I just thought, you know, Greg Williams did a great job. Let's get after him down in and down out.
Yeah, and the key to your discussion, as his game went down. Creamy went down late second half, dislocated kneecap. He's going to be gone at least a month. So now you have the number two right tackle in there. And you face a Packers defense that does the same stuff. Okay, Dom Capers, hey, he's going to blitz. He's going to blitz hard. But the key here is it's not going to be different. It's be the same game plan we saw in the title game last year at Soldier Field. Divisional opponents don't change very much. They run the same stuff. They know each other too well. You're not going to sneak anything by anyone in this game. So it comes down to athletes, comes down to schemes, X's and O's, and basically execution. One question, though, Wes. We know the Bears are going to see pressure. Can Green Bay cover in the back end right now? I mean, they gave up. Drew Brees shredded them. That happens. It's Drew Brees. Cam Newton threw for 400-plus on them. I know they had some picks. Charles Woodson, as usual, I mean, he's my favorite defensive player in the league. I love watching this guy on Sundays because he's versatile. He's dynamic. He can line up all over the field. That's a football player to me, and he can tackle. He made some plays, but, hey, Nick Collins is now out with the neck injury. You can bring in Charlie Pepper. I understand Charlie played last year. I understand Morgan Burnett's back, and I've had fans tell me, hey, Burnett's got good range, good speed. Yeah, that's fine, but Nick Collins is a Pro Bowler, all right? Yeah. You lose a Pro Bowl talent, free safety, it hurts.
Well, I think when you look at week one, they're playing against Drew Brees, a quarterback who gets the ball out of his hands as quickly as anyone, deciphers information as quickly as anyone. Anyone's going to give up points. Cam Newton was a bit of an unknown, but what he did so well, I thought, and when watching Cam, his ability to create second lives, buy time outside the pocket. With Jay Cutler, not a great decision maker, not overly decisive, and he's not a guy that's going to buy time. So I think if there's a quarterback that they can slow down consistently, it'd be a Jay Cutler type, and I can't see them getting torched 3 weeks in a row for big yardage, to be honest, especially against Jay Cutler. If they put a lot of points on the board early, can pin their ears back. The Bears are going to need to score points to keep this one close. They're not going to be able to hold this Green Bay team, I don't think, to 14 to 17 points.
Well, you know what, though, Wes? The cover two has been successful against Rodgers because they force him to throw underneath. And I mean, look at this matchup. You got Chad Clifton against Julius Peppers. I'm going to take Peppers every time.
Yeah.
I mean, I played with Chad. I mean, Chad's been playing a long time in the left tackle position, but Peppers is unblockable right now. He really is. I could see him going a lot of empty sets, spreading the field quick. Underneath throws, but again, that's 12, 13 play drives. A lot of bad things can happen, and that's the Bears. That's Lovie Smith football right there. But I'll tell you this, Major Wright got smoked last week by Devery Henderson in cover two.
Yeah, and there's a lot of dynamic weapons, too, now that they didn't see last year with Cobb. Finley's healthy. Jordy Nelson's kind of coming into his own. A lot of unique weapons that they can create mismatches with.
And the key for Green Bay here is, hey, they'll align speed to the field. They'll put Jamarcus Finley as the backside X.
Yeah,
they'll put Greg Jennings as the number three, the open side of the field, and get him down the middle on the post route. And that's on Urlacher, it's on the safety. It's going to be a great football game. It always is. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I actually like the Bears at home. People think I'm crazy, but I do like this Bears at home if they get back to some balance on offense. Mike Marks got a little, let his ego get in the way last week. But they get back some balance, protect the football, and play Lovie Smith style football, defense, get a return on special teams. They're going to need big plays. No question they're going to need big plays to beat the Packers. I like this Bears team at home. And you know what, Wes? Someone at the wide receiver position for the Bears, step up and make a play. I mean, it can't be Dane Sonsenbacher. It can't be your go-to guy. There's no disrespect to Dane. He's a rookie. Wasn't even drafted. Roy Williams has got to get healthy. Hester's got to make some plays. Johnny Knox has got to finish routes. I mean, I love Earl Bennett. I think he's great inside the numbers, but they need someone. When they're in press coverage to the outside, says, okay, you want to press my guy, I'm taking you down the field, we're going to score points. They don't have that right now.
No, they don't. And I was going to say, Forte's going to have to carry a big load, whether it's in the run game, in the pass game as well. Because really, and that's another thing, why do you get rid of Greg Olsen? I know Marks doesn't want to throw to the tight end, but at this stage in the NFL, you need those mismatch guys. And he was one of the only guys, I thought, one of the key mismatch guys on that offense, besides Forte out of the backfield. Those wide receivers, there's no one dynamic enough. There's no Cobb in the slot. There's no guy that can consistently get down the field vertically. I mean, great, Johnny Knox can run, but if you press him off the line, he can be easily rerouted, couple steps to get back up to speed. it's a tough wide receiving core to throw to overall.
No, I agree. I agree. That's why I said it's got to be defense, got to be big plays in the return game. They got to force turnovers.
Yeah.
It's a home game. You want – it's tough to beat the Packers twice here, but you got to get the one at home. Got to get that one. Let's move on here, Wes. Blaine Gabbert's going to get the start this week for Jacksonville. Okay. Luke McCown was terrible. Was absolutely brutal against the Jets. And we talked about this earlier, man. There was no chance this guy was going to win a division title for Jack Del Rio. No chance. David Garrard? Hey, maybe. I don't know. I mean, the AFC South without Peyton Manning. I thought the Jags might have had a chance with MJD in the backup. But right now, looks like they're going to the rookie. And we got Gabbert facing Newton Sunday. What are you looking for from Blaine Gabbert?
I want to see him get the ball out of his hands quickly.
Okay.
A lot of times with these rookie quarterbacks, especially these guys that can make all the throws, they trust that big arm so much, they want to see routes come open. In the NFL, you don't see routes come open. You got to throw guys open. The wide receiving core, a bit suspect down there, but I want to see him be decisive with the football, get the ball out of his hands. He's a good enough athlete to also buy some time for himself, but just being able to get the ball, be in rhythm early, I think that'll give him a chance. Maybe get the defenders to back off a bit, get MJD running in the pass game. But we know early, the Carolina Panthers are going to put a lot of guys in the box. They have a lot of bodies defensively. No one stand out, but a lot of bodies that they can keep rotating, trying to keep them behind the chains. I think Gabbert, first and second down will be the key for him, that they can stay in front of the chains and then hopefully work off some play action, get some big plays down the field. But that's the biggest thing I want to see from the rookie quarterback. Does he get the ball out of his hands quickly, make decisive decisions before the pressure comes?
All right, and I will say this to the listeners. If he throws four picks, live with it because he's your guy now. You cut Garrard, you bench McCown. That's it. That's it. This is Jack Del Rio is telling everyone, hey, Blaine Gabbert is my quarterback, and we're gonna live and die with him. And I think they're going to die early. I really do. I mean, for him to step in, he wasn't great in the preseason. In preseason football, I understand Cam Newton wasn't great either. But Cam Newton, he's got a little bit more talent than Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, he's got a lot more talent.
One thing that Blaine Gabbert can't do is what he did a lot at Missouri when I watched coaches' tape leading up to the draft, even the shotgun. He's got to stand there and stand tough in the pocket. He cannot retreat, throw off his back foot, and that is going to get him killed at the NFL level. He's going to have to stand in there, throw the football, and take a shot under the chin. It's not going to be fun, but that's what you do as a pro quarterback. So I'll be interested to see how he plays. But I caution people. Throws four picks. Hell, if he throws six picks, hey, he's your guy. Go buy his jersey. Hope the team doesn't move to L.A. because he's your guy for a long. He's your guy for a long time, Wes.
Yeah, I don't think he will though, Bowen. Honestly, I think when you watch Cam Newton, you know he's the guy that's throwing two, three picks a game. He's making a lot of plays, and I like that. But he's someone that he doesn't know what he's seeing all the time. He thinks he's seeing one thing. He actually sees something else coverage-wise, forcing balls down the field that get picked off. You talked about Woodson, you know, getting a couple of his passes. I think Gabbert has a better feel of being able to decipher information, cover one, two, three that he's going to see, and being a little more effective with the football. Now, does he have the skill set to make the same type of throws that Cam Newton makes, especially on the move? No, but I think he'll take a little bit better care of the football. You just won't see as many big plays from him.
That's a game to watch. It's a good game to watch.
It is.
Just to see where these two guys are at. We know what Newton's done the first couple, but you want to see him continue that production. That's part of being a pro as well. New England Buffalo, Wes. Buffalo has not beaten the Patriots since 2003.
What'd you say, 16 games?
It's something like that. I'm terrible at math.
Okay.
2003, that was my first year as a Redskin, okay? That's a long, long time ago. And let's be honest. I love the start by the Bills. They're scoring points. Fitzpatrick's playing good. Had the comeback win, which you need to have as a young team at home over your Raiders this past Sunday. But if you want to go anywhere in the AFC East, you have to beat the Patriots. You have to beat the Jets, too, and the Dolphins. I understand that. But if you want to go anywhere – and you're the Buffalo Bills, you got to beat the Patriots. Now, New England's going to be without Aaron Hernandez. All right, that's a key loss. And no matter how good Tom Brady is playing, his tight ends are crucial to that game plan. I wrote about it Sunday after they beat the Chargers at the NFP because I don't know what the game plan is to stop Hernandez from Gronkowski inside, especially in the red zone with Gronkowski. Oh. He's so big. His hands are – he's got strong hands. I mean, he just runs a little inside breaking route. That's 6 points.
Yeah, no chance.
But I don't know. I mean, how good is the Buffalo defense? We'll really find out. And if they sit in coverage, Brady's in the tournament part. I think you have to be aggressive versus Brady. You really do. You have to pick your spots, obviously, but you have to get hits on him. I mean, that's how the Jets beat him last year. You got to get hits on Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, we talk about, you know, first and second, excuse me, first and second down, you got to win. You know, I think, have the Patriots seen third down all year? Every time I watch these guys, you know, it's a big chunk on first. They move the chains on second down. So I think the Bills need to get in some third down situations, and they got to keep the ball out of their hands. Fred Jackson, no one's talking about him. We're giving a lot of love to Fitzpatrick, Stevie Johnson on the outside.
No one ever talks about Freddie, ever. No.
But did C.J. Spiller even play against the Raiders?
C.J. Spiller played since he's been at Clemson, let's be honest. I mean, that was a luxury pick and probably one of the I'm not going to call him a bust yet, but he should have been late first-round pick. That's another discussion.
Yeah, no, but, I mean, Fred Jackson, this is a guy, even on third-down situations, one, he can pass block, so you got to love that about him, but he'll catch the football out of the backfield, he'll snap his head around north to south quickly, subtle enough and sudden enough to make someone miss. I mean, he was the Raider killer. I mean, consistently picking up those third downs, keeping him ahead of the chains. He's a physical runner, good enough short area quickness in tight areas, and then accelerates into the open field. I was really impressed with him, and I think he's the one guy that can at least help sustain these long drives, keep the ball out of Brady's hand, and at least give them a chance offensively.
Right, and I'll tell you a quick little story. When I was – my last year I played in Buffalo, I didn't do anything. I was hurt the whole year, but Freddie Jackson was on the practice squad. I mean – he played at Coe College, which is a small, I want to say D3 school in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Okay? So for him to come this far, be a starting running back in the NFL and a good, productive starting running back, it's a great story for Fred. Jeez. I mean, he's a good guy, deserves everything he gets. And I agree, you run the offense through him this Sunday. You pound the rock, you control the clock, and you dictate the flow of the game to the Patriots.
And you think the Bills want him to be their starting quarterback after they invested a first-round pick in Spiller? I mean, it says something about him.
Yeah. I mean, he's always been kind of been told he can't do it. And, again, he's doing it again. Yeah. But it's a good game to watch. I'm interested. And I'm not saying Buffalo has to win this game to be competitive in the AFC East, but they have to show me something. I want to see him play hard. I want to see him put some hits on Brady, too. No one's hit Brady there yet. Someone's got to put him down.
Yeah.
All right, Wes. Michael Vick gets a concussion Sunday night in the loss to Atlanta. I think if he stays in that game, they win that game. I mean, I really like this Eagles team. I've said before, I picked him to go to the Super Bowl to play the Jets. You can't put him back out there this week. You just, I mean, on the surface, his contract is $100 million. All right? He just had a concussion. You put him back on the field this week the way he plays the game. All right? This isn't Brady. All right? Michael Vick is a unique athlete who's going to take off and run. And he takes another hit in the side of the head, just a knee in the side of the head in a pile. You might not have him for a while. I wrote about it this morning at the NFP. Some people really don't agree with me. They've already blown up my email, my Twitter, saying that's the doctor's call. I understand it's a doctor's call. But these baseline concussion tests that players take are suspects. I mean, guys, you take the test early in the year, usually during spring and minicamp. I'm sure after lockout they did it in August. No one cares. They screw around with it. They don't take it seriously. And then when they get a concussion, you can't really judge if the guy's back or not. It's a computer test memorizing shapes, numbers, pictures. I don't know. If you're going to base – you'll put a guy back on the field because he can remember five numbers in a row. I don't know. I don't buy it. I think you got to sit him.
They're playing the Giants this week, correct?
Yeah, I know it's a big game. I know they can fall to 1-2. I understand that. It's just a damn football game, though.
Yeah, but no.
Invested $100 million. You put him out there, he gets hurt. You want to talk about a PR nightmare for Andy Reid and the Eagles? What if he went out there and got hurt and they had to shut him down for the season? Because that could happen.
No, and I'm actually going to agree with you, Bowen. And my point was they're playing the Giants this week, who there's a lot of bad blood to begin with. And the last time these two teams faced off, you know, that was the nightmare punt, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Giants are even more keyed up for that. They got Justin Tuck on the outside, who's back healthy. They got Jason Pierre-Paul, who I don't know if anyone in the league right now can consistently block this guy. He's just a freak of an athlete coming into his own. You know the Giants are going to smell water or smell blood. They are going to come after Vic if he's on the field that entire time. You know, I agree. I don't care if they go 1-2 because if there's a game where he could consider big time get hurt, it'd be this Giants game when they want to come down, get after Vic consistently, and they got the pass rushers to consistently do it.
Yeah, and Perry Field, the defense coordinator for the Giants.
He's not
he was a cover two coach when he was with me in Buffalo. Not anymore, man. He comes after you.
Yeah.
He runs cover zero. He doesn't care. Yeah. He'll blitz. He'll bring seven-man pressure and go after Vic. And you remember that game? I think it was the game in Philly. They were trying to put him down, man. They were putting some hits on him. They were really getting physical. I would not risk that at all. Mike Kafka played okay when he came in.
Kafka's a good player. Yeah.
He's a better option than Vince Young. Let's just be honest here.
Oh, he is.
I don't think Vince Young's going to see the field this year. I wouldn't put him out there.
No. And you got to look at that Eagles O-line. I mean, they struggle to pass protect. And Mike Vick covers up a lot of their deficiencies overall. But especially at the tackles, you know, Jason Peters, when he's in shape, he's as good as it is. But he's got to stay motivated. The right side, I mean, there's a huge question mark over there. You know, can they pass protect? And I don't, especially against this matchup with the Giants this early in the year, I don't think it's a good call to risk Vic either.
No, I completely agree. And we'll see what they do. If they put him out there, you know, and he makes it through without taking a hit, everyone will say I'm an idiot. But that's just too much for me to risk. And if I'm the head coach, I say you're not playing. I wouldn't even bring him to the stadium. I say sit at home, watch the game on TV, rest, relax.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to be involved in this. We'll get you back. We'll make our run, our playoff run. But we don't need you right now.
Yeah, you don't need him weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4. You need him at
You need him in November and December. That's when football starts in the NFL, especially in the NFC East. Yeah.
And the Eagles are going to be there regardless. They're going to be okay. Don't worry.
No, I agree. Let's talk a little college here, Wes. Oklahoma State, Texas A&M this week. Big game. Big early season game for, you know, what's left of the Big 12, which Texas A&M is about to bolt. But I played for Coach Sherman in Green Bay. I have a lot of respect for him, a lot of respect for his West Coast offense. There's two quarterbacks in this game, Wes, that you need to break down for us.
Well, it starts with Ryan Tannehill, Texas A&M quarterback. Big high school quarterback coming out. Unfortunately, he goes to A&M. They got Gerard Johnson there, who they're going to build the entire team around.
Right.
But this kid's a natural football player. He wants to get on the field. They move him to wide receiver. In 2.5 years, he's number 5 all-time in receptions at A&M. That tells you the kind of athlete, the type of natural football player he is. Gerard Johnson struggles. He gives Tannehill the clipboard, or they give Gerard the clipboard. Tannehill takes the reins of the offense. All this guy does is move the chains. He can buy time outside the pocket. He's accurate with the football. Does a great job diagnosing defenses, deciphering information. He's accurate, ball out of his hands quickly, which is exactly what Mike Sherman wants. I think he's only improved from last year. And honestly, outside of Andrew Luck, you're going to have a hard time convincing me there's a better potential quarterback prospect at the next level than Ryan Tannehill.
That says a lot, Wes. You put him up there with Luck.
Well, just right behind Luck. I like Luck a little more. I think he's, you know, a once-in-a-generation type prospect. But if Tannehill were to come out last year, I think in my opinion, he would have been the best quarterback prospect. Not as talented as Cam Newton, but from a quarterback standpoint, I would have liked him more as a prospect.
Wow. Now tell me about the Oklahoma State kid.
This is Brandon Whedon. He's a 6'4", 225-pound kid, drafted by the Yankees with their first overall pick.
Wow.
I believe in 2002, 2003. But overall, just couldn't make the move to baseball. Came back to Oklahoma State. This will be his fourth year there. Can make all the throws. Comes from that quirky spread offense. But again, a guy who can anticipate throws, ball out of his hands quickly, accurate on all levels of the field. Throws possibly the best touch pass inside the red zone when you're throwing that vertical as any quarterback I've seen. Just a really impressive quarterback. The big thing that is the downfall with him, he's going to be 28 years old in November, and it's tough to invest a really high pick, meaning first round, on a guy that's going to be 28, 29 years old as a rookie. And again, a talented kid that can make a lot of plays. I'm interested to see these two go head-to-head, and in my opinion, they're the two best quarterbacks in the Big 12. I know Landry Jones is getting a ton of love, but I like both these guys a lot more as a quarterback, regardless of age, in the Big 12 right now.
That's a good game to watch. You know, another game that I'm excited to see is Saturday night, LSU, West Virginia. You know, I want to see how West Virginia's passing attack does against this secondary from LSU, because I've watched LSU play Oregon and the Mississippi State game. They got some DBs that can play now. I mean, they do. That's a big physical look like NFL corners back there. How they do against a spread passing attack, man, it's different. I want to see how they match up. That's a good game to watch also.
Yeah, a lot of guys that can get pressure up front on LSU as well. And, You know, what if Patrick Peterson would decide to stay for his senior year?
Oh, God.
That's a scary LSU defense. They got a nice mix of underclassmen with a lot of talent. Brandon Taylor, the senior free safety, kind of has that glue in the backfield. You know, if they can if Les Miles doesn't mess anything up, I think this is, you know, possibly your national title team right here.
Well, he got I think it's November 5th or 6th, whatever, LSU and Bama. That's the game of the year. Yeah. I mean, that's the game of the year. Oklahoma's not going to lose again. Okay, maybe Oklahoma State, that the Bedlam game, but they'll smash Texas this year and they'll beat everyone else. So
don't sleep on Ball Coach either. I'm a fan of Ball Coach. I think they could be that one sleeper. They'll be there in the SEC title game. I think they can beat Florida again. But they're a very good football team.
Garcia, that's something that worries me about that team. Garcia's been playing there for 25 years.
But yes. Yeah, no, that's the one.
He's the type of guy that can just start turning the ball over like you wouldn't believe.
He can, but he can be very good at times as well. Either get the good version or the bad version. He's really talented. It's just making sure he's level-headed and ready to go is the biggest concern, because those guys can rush the passer. Remember your boy Clowney?
Yeah.
I mean, YouTube video that we were all getting the big kick out of.
Yeah, he's like Javon Kearse.
Yeah. I mean, he's a man-child off the edge. He's a first-round pick right now if he would declare.
So. And the running back's legit. Yeah, he's real.
He's
an NFL running back. No question about that. Okay. I'd be honest. I'd love to see Ball Coach win the SEC title. That'd be great.
Yeah. They were one of my dark horses. I like them, and I like Mississippi State as well. Unfortunately, Mississippi State lost on that last second play to Auburn. Right. But there's a lot of really good football teams down there in the SEC once again.
Oh, every year, man. Every year. Yeah. All right, man. Well, that's all we're going to have for now. We'll catch you again next week. I'm sure we'll recap some NFL games, look ahead to the week 4 schedule as well, talk some more prospects with Wes Bunning, and hype up my Hawkeyes again, who will be 3-1. And like I said, pretty soon we start marching. Get your plane tickets for L.A. We're going to Pasadena.
Do we get Fortinball on to talk about Penn State?
No, man, they're done.
They're done? They're done. Okay.
We'll be Kirk Owens, Joe Pa. We'll be Penn State again.
He does. Where's it at this year?
Yeah, it's in Iowa City.
Oh, man.
No, maybe it's a state college. I don't know. I got to check on that. It doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't.
We'll play them in the parking lot, Wes.
They'll bring you back. They'll run the option. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, right. Bring me back, sit in the hash, play cover two, no problem. All right, guys. We're out. We'll see you next week. All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. I sit back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. Extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal, light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance, caress a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain.